This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
That was absolutely hysterical on Friday. Trey Wingo literally had a stat for every game that we talked about.
He did. It was impressive.
And he didn't know which games I was throwing at
him. He just has them ready.
Right? He did. He had no idea. Got a stat for everything. Absolutely tremendous. All right, Mike Felder from Stadium is going to join us in 15 minutes to talk college football. Get his thoughts on NC State. Get his thoughts on the app win. But we'll kind of go around the country as well, see what else is going on in this world. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk a lot of ACC football. We'll get more into the Panthers and Anish Shroff, who, by the way, had the State Texas Tech game. So we're going to talk about that with him. And we'll talk also a little bit about Aaron Judge with our friend Elliot Johnson. All right, let's get right to the wall of sound, because
the wall of sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
So much Matt Rhule stuff we haven't had time to get to, so let's get to it. Here's Matt Rhule. I mean, straight up, right out of the gate, press conference after the game.
You know, obviously a very, very disappointing game. You know, my heart hurts for the guys in that locker room. I know how much they wanted to win the football game, and you know, made some mistakes early in the game. I thought the defense bailed us out through that, and took the lead in the second half, and then only to see it slip away. So obviously for our guys, that's two games in a row where we've come down to the very end with a chance to win the game, and have come up short both times. And you know, I take full responsibility for that. You know, that's my job, that falls on me, and I have to help these guys find a way to just make one more play and win the game. And they're trying, they're grinding, they're working. They left it all on the field today. And but we are coming up just a play or two short. And I know how frustrated they are. So you know, we're close. I believe that with all my heart. I think we're so close for coming down the stretch, but we haven't found a way to get it done, and that's my job to help us get over that that last hump. It's the hardest part, and we haven't done it yet, and didn't do it today.
All right, we're going to get to why he thinks they're close in a second. I would simply say this about, you know, we came up a play or two short. It's very simple to look at it that way, because in professional sports, that's generally the difference. It really is generally the difference, no matter whether or not you're really good or not. But the really good teams make that play.
Find a way.
Right. They make that play, because that play presents itself several times during the game. You don't just get one chance to make the play. You get many. The good teams make that play, and it impacts the game. The teams like the Panthers never make that play.
No.
I would say that Matt Rhule didn't fumble the opening kickoff. I would say that Matt Rhule didn't fumble the ball on the first possession after the Giants did nothing other than kick a short field goal with that opening kickoff fumble. Matt Rhule didn't drop a third and seven pass in the red zone that looked like was going to be a first down. He didn't do that. Matt Rhule didn't do all those things. That's what this team is. This team is a player too short. That's what they are under Matt Rhule. That's unfortunate. All right, so when asked about being close and your evidence, here was his answer.
I just think we know that every game in the National Football League, or pretty much every game, is going to come down to the final 5 minutes of the game. And, you know, this is yet another one that comes down to the final 5 minutes of the game. And that's twice now that we've had a chance to go win it. So to me, again, it's not like, hey, guys, we're close, you know, hanging. It's more like, hey, we know they're going to come down to the last 5 minutes of the game. Last week did. This week did. We got to win those games, though, and we know that. And that's why I start by saying, hey, it's on me. I don't think I have to prove it to them. I mean, they're not, you know, they're the ones out there playing. They want to win so badly. You know, again, if we don't take the ball away, we're probably not going to win. If we're minus two in games, probably not going to win. And yet we're still having a chance. And so we got to get off to a better start on offense. We have to just find a way to stay on the field on third down on offense. There's a lot of things we have to do better. And, we're still, there down the stretch with a chance to win is kind of how I think we all look at it.
Or you played a team that also isn't very good, because that's the way I look at the New York Giants. All I heard after last week's game was, man, if the Panthers just didn't start so slowly, like, sure. Yeah. If you score a point in the first half, maybe you have a better chance. But there's a reason you didn't score in the first half. That wasn't a slow start.
You got to hang on to the ball. I'm sorry.
No. I'm not. I don't disagree with you. Yeah. Look, I've been there. Remember, I am a recovering Jets fan.
Yes.
Okay? I get what Panthers fans go through because I went through it. I can empathize. They're not good. They're not going to be good. This is not a good head coach. I like him in every facet of his life except the one that we watch on Sundays. Here's Baker Mayfield, who also wasn't that good on Sunday, on overcoming the mental part of being 0-2.
We just have to come out and play. It's the mental hump of the 0-2 record, but knowing that there's a lot of ball left. But also, you think about it. Like I said, we were 6-6 at halftime when, we should have been losing. Or, if you look at the stats and the situations. But we're very close. Eliminate our own mistakes and just go play. We put in the work. We deserve to have fun on Sundays and go execute.
By the whole lot of humps going on in the Panthers. Matt Rhule talking about humps. Baker Mayfield talking about humps. Should be the Camels.
Right? They should.
Yeah. I could have gone somewhere else with it. I probably did the better, made the better decision. All right, let's go to college football, shall we? Dave Doran.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that. You can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
Good win. You beat Texas Tech. Your defense was great. It's good to see Peyton Wilson start and finish a game for the first time in 3 years, whatever it is. But the offense was disappointing. Here's Dave Doran right out of the gate in the press conference.
Well, first, want to thank our fans, students, parents, recruits, everybody that was here tonight. It was awesome environment, and really appreciate the crowd noise. You guys always help us out, and it's not like this everywhere. There's a reason that we have the home win streak. It's how we're playing, it's how we're coaching, it's how you're cheering, and thank you for that. Very proud of the team. That was a good team win. Getting the interceptions on defense, and the way that I thought just throughout the game, different times, kind of fed off of each other, played some good complimentary football at times. That was a good offense. And so to be able to do what we did, I thought Coach Gibson really called some good blitzes at the right time and mixed it up. The kids did a good job. Different guys stepped up and kind of had to fill some voids when guys were tired. But when you get that many takeaways in a game and you get a turnover on the special teams with their muffed punt, you ought to be able to win. And it's good to get that win. I know that was a big game.
Look, NC State has dreams and aspirations, so they had to win the game. But, man, their offense, gosh, could be so much better. Devin Leary's was, 130 yards passing?
Yeah.
They just have to be more dynamic. They just have to be. I am, in a way, sort of hanging on, not showing too much. But then again, they went into their bag of tricks, and I'm going to talk about this with Mike Felder. They went into their bag of tricks with some flea flicker action that Thayer Thomas threw two passes in the game. Well, to beat Texas Tech?
Right.
Come on. Come on. All right, here's Dave Doran on the offense responding to Texas Tech.
Well, it felt like we ran the ball pretty effectively in the game. But, yeah, I mean, once we got the two-score lead in the second half, with the way their offense plays fast, we were trying to keep it away and use clock, as you saw. So I think the run game at times was good and at other times not so good. We had some good outside runs, I think, got on the edges. But Demi's one touchdown early in the game, and I thought Tim mixed it up pretty well. You know, in the run game, we were pretty versatile. Did a, you know, our counters, our outside zone, inside zone, and had some off-tackle trap stuff. So made him defend a lot of things in the run game.
Good for the Wolfpack being 3-0. Connecticut is not going to be a challenge. And then it's the real challenge at Clemson. Hopefully their offense will make the trip. All right, one more thing before we take a break. And Mike Felder is coming up on the other side. We heard the Adam Witten play-by-play clip twice. Voice of App State. But App State also has a student radio station. So let's hear from Jeffrey Marson, who is the student play-by-play radio caller for the Mountaineers.
And takes a snap. Troy sends four. Bryce rolls left. Going to heave it deep. And it's not going to get there. It's caught by Christian Horn. He's around the outside. And it's gone. He's gone. App State wins. Holy mother meatballs. It's a touchdown for App State on a Hail Mary. And takes a snap.
Wait. Holy Mother Meatballs?
I don't know what that was, but it was great.
Holy Mother Meatballs?
Mountain Meatballs, I guess. I don't know.
I have no idea if that's what he said.
I have no clue, but it was great.
Holy Mother Meatballs. I believe that's what I heard. That is tremendous.
You could feel the roller coaster of emotion.
Gosh, we're going everywhere. Mike Felder from Watch Stadium, at In the Bleachers on Twitter, knows more about football, let alone college football, than any human being I know. And he joins me on the Adam Gold Show. Sir, thank you very much for clearing time in your day to talk to somebody like me. I appreciate your time. The Wolfpack, I know they're 3-0, but their offense is sort of not doing much. Is it offensive line? Is it skill? Is it scheme? Is it opponent? What are your thoughts on where the Wolfpack are offensively? Is it early? What are your thoughts on that so far?
Can you hear me?
Now I can. You sound good.
Okay. I think it's a combination of all those things. I think that there's a tremendous amount of pressure on Devin Leary, mm-hmm. and he's pressing, which means pressing does lead to sometimes interceptions, but sometimes off-target throws. And then we're still figuring out what they are in the run game. And then, I mean, they had a perfect play that got burned because an offensive lineman was like 9 yards downfield. So
right.
it's one of those things where it's a confluence. It's a confluence of all these issues. And they're a team that is – here's the thing. Being 3-0 is better than being 1-2 or 2-1. But they still recognize that they have some problems, and being able to fix those in the meantime, I think, is the most important part. This is a team that we all expected them to be, you know, near the top of the ACC because of Leary. We expected them to be near the top of the ACC in offense, and right now they're 11th in total offense.
Yeah.
So the defense is carrying them right now, which is good, but at the same time, you got to have that offense come with you.
Yeah, spoke to Chip Patterson before the season started, and Chip comes on with us every Wednesday, and he said, this is about a month ago, and I love the Wolfpack, and I love Devin Leary, and I think their running backs are good enough. Only question was, you got to replace Ekwonu on the offensive line.
Yep.
Could they do that? I know the skill position talent isn't quite the same, but there should be enough, and they've recruited well enough, and especially in college, man, Every school should have a whole bunch of wide receivers that could step on the field and play. The Trent Penix tight end injury, I think, on the low probably hurts them, especially the way he emerged last year. But their offense has just looked so weird to me, and I was put off. Maybe I shouldn't have been. They went into their bag of tricks in the first quarter against Texas Tech in week three. So my fear is that, well, you can't use that play again. Is that a fair way of looking at it?
Yes, that's a perfect way to look at it. And here's the reality is, not only did they use it, and it should have worked, it
right.
also got called back.
Right.
Like, that's the worst part of it all, is the touchdown that you scored didn't even count, but everybody knows when you go into this look, you're going to do this. So you can't use that for, what, 4 weeks, 5 weeks?
Could use it in 2 weeks, right.
And getting in. Yeah. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that shakes itself out. But, I mean, but you, like, go look at the numbers. Like, in the top 50 wide receivers in the ACC, you have to go all the way down to, what, 35, 37 to get to Thayer, to get to Thayer Thomas, to get to Durney. Like, and Durney's a running back. Like, you have to go down all the list as far to get to those guys. And that's the big thing for me, where if you don't have a playmaker, you don't have a consistent playmaker, it's going to be really tough. And obviously, Zay Flowers from BC is – I'm not saying BC is better than NC State, but at least they know when we need something, we can get him the football. Same thing with, like, Purdue when they had David Bell or
right.
or Rondell Moore. Like, NC State's got to, like, find a guy that can get down the field and go make something happen, a guy that can scare a defense, not a guy that can, you know, sneak underneath like Thayer.
Right. You know, the truth is that NC State has really two great quarterbacks, because Thayer Thomas is also a great quarterback, apparently. I mean, every time I see him throw, he throws a touchdown pass. Mike Felder, at In the Bleachers on Twitter from Watch Stadium. So, I mean, I go back to that first game. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I'll go back to the first game against East Carolina. Uh-huh. And I want to give ECU the credit, because they had two goal line stands there. The second yep. one more impressive than the first one. But I was of the mind that State was trying to show as little as possible. But what they did was invite a loss. I thought that was a little bit troubling. We haven't seen a really good power run game from them. Are they just not going to be able to do that, especially as they start going up in class starting in 2 weeks?
Well, it's a question of if you want to do it too, right? So you have to ask that question. And I think that the running backs are more comfortable moving wide, which is wide zone versus inside zone, and they mm-hmm. run more wide zone, at least from what I've seen. And I'm sure somebody's going to email or text and say, no, they still run inside zone. And I'm like, not the same inside zone when they had Garrett Bradbury or when they had
right.
Keaquanu. Like, it's not the same inside zone. So it looks like they want to try to get to the perimeter a little more, but the guys aren't fast enough. Once you try to hit the corner, they can cut you down. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing for them over the course of the season. But the other part for me is, what do they want to be? And I think what they want to be, and I think that trick play that we've talked about for a little bit, I think they want Leary to be a part of this offense, not just from throwing, but also a little bit of running. And he seems a little reluctant to do that. And that's the part that's the most interesting for me with NC State, is does Leary, like, because we know he's super athletic. Mm-hmm. Can he steal some yards for you? And that's the part that's going to be interesting over the course of the season, because, yes, he wants to make sure he stays healthy so he can play all these games so they can achieve at that maximum level. But your running game becomes more dangerous if he is a factor in that run game. And that's the part where I'm curious to see how this plays itself out over the course of the season. And obviously UNC and NC State are always intrinsically tied together. And what we've seen is Devin is Drake May be a little more willing to be a part of that. But that's also part of the fact that this is his first time starting.
Right.
Devin Leary has got to make money next year.
Yes.
He has to be an adult. He's got to get health insurance. You know what I'm saying? Like, and Drake May's like, oh, I'm still going to be in college next year. What's the difference? It's fine. Of course I'll run. So I think those things all factor in.
Healthcare.gov for Devin Leary, Mike Felder at In the Bleachers on Twitter. All right. As it were, we're going to do quick hits on NC State's next three opponents before we talk about the Tar Heels and Notre Dame. So, well, not their next three opponents because they're playing Connecticut, which is sort of an opponent. But in 2 weeks, the Wolfpack are going to Clemson. I actually thought the Tigers looked a little bit better. I know it's Louisiana Tech, but I actually thought that even DJ looked a little bit better. Are they working some kinks out, or was that opponent related?
They're working kinks out. DJ's also in a fight for his life. He wants to play in the NFL, and he's doing everything he can to keep this kid on the sidelines. And the craziest part is the better DJ plays, the more that Cade gets to play. That's the, like, I don't know if anybody else has thought about that, but that's the reality, right?
Right.
Like, if DJ plays really well, then Cade gets more time in the game. And so I think DJ is, he's figuring things out, and he's also challenging his wide receivers. I think this is a season where I've seen more frustration between, and maybe it's because of the transfer portal, maybe it's because maybe it's because this is the first kind of season, quote unquote, truly out, but we're seeing more frustration between quarterbacks and wide receivers than we've seen in a long time. Like, visible frustration. Maybe it's just ESPN or Fox or CBS or whatever. Maybe it's just their camera angles and the way they give you a hero shot on somebody. But I saw Downs with May. I've seen, obviously, I've seen DJ with, is it Nagata? I've seen that. I've seen A-Chain and Aeneas Smith at A&M.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're seeing these guys just look at the quarterback like, come on, man. Same thing with Ronnie Bell at Michigan. Like, we're seeing these things in real time. And I think the biggest thing is going to be is seeing DJ get upset that the wide receiver didn't make the right break, didn't do the right thing. And he's like, no, man, we're supposed to be better than this. And you do this for him, but not for me. And it's building up. And so I think with obviously NC State going to Clemson, the biggest thing that I'm going to be looking forward to is the line.
Yeah.
And obviously RIP to Brian Bressy's sister.
Mm-hmm.
Bressy should be back for that game. And if he's not back, that's fine, too, because it takes a long time to get over something that type of hurt. But if he is back, how they handle him is going to be interesting when you also have to deal with Miles Murphy and KJ. Like, you have to deal with all these things. It's going to be tough. So, yeah, I think the frustration is bubbling up, and I'm very curious to see how Dabo handles it because he's not been used to dealing with this.
I like the under in that game, regardless of who's on the field. And I haven't seen the under 2 weeks out, but I like the under in that game. Florida State looks competent, and that is something we haven't really been able to say for a number of years. They don't look like they beat themselves. I mean, everybody makes mistakes. It is college football. But, again, they just look like they're competent, and that could be dangerous. I still don't know that they have a great offensive line. But suddenly, that game looks like a lot more of a problem for everybody.
Competent or confident?
Competent.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997, with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
I think they look competent. I think the scary part for me is that they're confident.
Right.
Because if they believe in themselves and they don't assume, and here's the thing, think about it with Scott Frost, where he goes, why does this stuff keep happening to us? Florida State doesn't have that attitude anymore,
right.
And I think that's a team that's going to be a problem. They're going to stick around the whole time. They stuck around against LSU, and even though they should have lost that game probably, they find a way to block a PAT at the end of the game and win.
Yeah.
Louisville, same thing. They Louisville stormed back, and then Florida State comes back, and they're able to get a finally end the game with a W. Like, this is a team that, goodness great, and I guess maybe I'll date myself, but they feel a lot more like a mid-90s Florida State team, right? Like, pre when they've won a couple national championships, pre when they've been had the best players of all time,
right?
Like mid to early 90s. But this is a team that's like, we're not out of it. And for people from the state of North Carolina to remember that, remember the way they dominated ACC. But I would say, like, if they feel a lot closer to the Road Warriors. That was Florida. When I think of Road Warriors, I think of Florida State. I think of ECU. We'll play you anytime, anywhere. We'll play you anytime, anywhere, any day. And this Florida State team has that feel to me. They played what? They played a Friday game. They played a Sunday game.
Yep.
Like, they're ready to rock and roll. They'll do it. Played a week zero game. This team has that makeup. And I think getting that level of energy is important. And by the way, like, I'm still waiting on Virginia Tech to give me that same energy, because they're the team that invented Thursday Night Football. And
right.
I know Brent Pry's going to be a good coach, but they're still not quite there yet.
Yeah, that loss at Old Dominion was disappointing. But I agree. And the overall strength of the ACC, fair or not, will always be measured by the quality of football played by Florida State, maybe Florida State first, to be honest, and Miami. Clemson. Who never won, but this Clemson thing, we all have to admit, is really a last 10 years. Before then,
it's new.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's brand, they are the nouveau riche. They're like East Coast Oregon. Oregon was never anything. And then all of a sudden they were, wait a second, Oregon's great? So that's what Clemson is. I think it's sustainable what Dabo Sweeney has done there.
Clemson is not a team that has Louis Vuitton luggage with no wheels on it that they inherited from their grandma. This is a team that they got the away bags, and they just got a really good package of away bags, and they're like, this is a new, completely different program than they were even with Danny Ford.
That
They're
is
new.
True.
And I love that you said nouveau riche. I love that. Listen, guys, if you're listening to the radio right now, Adam Gold and Michael Felder, guess what we do? We read books. We know stuff.
All right, before I have to expose myself, I said that very poorly. Very inartfully. The strength of the ACC extends to Syracuse? What's going on there? Real quick before we talk about North Carolina and Notre Dame for a second. What's going on in Syracuse? Are they good?
I don't know. Schrader's there, obviously. I have no idea. I picked Purdue to beat them, and then Purdue won the game, and then they lost.
Right.
I don't understand what's happening. I don't know, but it looks like we got a group of guys that are going to fight to make sure they keep playing for Dino Babers. Honestly, I think that's what it is. Does that make any sense?
No, yeah, it does. Dino's great.
This team should have lost. Gadsden is amazing.
Yeah.
As a wide receiver. And they're 3-0. We've got a 3-0 Syracuse. We've got a 3-0 Duke. To go out of the ACC, we got a 3-0 Kansas. We also got a 3-0. Do we have a 3-0 Washington as well?
Yeah, Washington, Wake, right?
Wake Fort. Like, these guys are like stepping up. And with Washington, it's a new coach. With Syracuse, they want to keep their coach. With Wake, they were like, we don't have a quarterback. Oh, and then our quarterback came back, and then we found a way to get something done. And then Duke is like, we got a new coach, but guess what? We play good defense, and Vanderbilt is also 3-0, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, Vanderbilt lost to Wake Forest.
Excuse me, they're 2-1.
Yes.
2-1.
Yeah,
they're stepping up and being like, because they should have lost to Northern Illinois, and they were like, no, we're not going to lose to you. Watch what we do in the second half. We're seeing teams stand up and step up, and I think that the craziest part, and I don't think Zeno Babers is a part of this, but I do think with Elko, with Clark Lee, we're seeing these defensive coaches do the thing that is the worst. I think Venables is also in that same camp. They're doing the thing that they hate. Braden Willis is going to be a superstar, the tight end for Oklahoma, because Venables is like, oh, you're the type of player I would hate to play against. And we're seeing them do those things. And I think with Syracuse, with respect to Syracuse, what we're seeing Syracuse do is they're like, you guys aren't that good. So they push the ball down the field. Do you have the size on Gadsden?
No, I have no idea.
Hang on, I got it right here.
I'm too busy reading books.
6'5", 217.
That's good size.
Just throw the football to him.
As many times.
They got a 5'10", they got a 5'10", 185-pound guy out there trying to cover him. Just throw the football to him.
All day long. All day long. All right, final thing. Notre Dame is at Keenan Stadium on Saturday, and I can't decide, is this disrespect? Like, I would have thought, based on what I've seen offensively from both teams, and defensively maybe from both teams, that North Carolina would be a slight favorite at home. They're actually a one-point underdog. Is that disrespectful to North Carolina?
Disrespect on what?
I don't know. I thought North Carolina would be favored in that game. I think Notre Dame's offense is because Notre Dame can't score.
Yeah, and UNC can't stop people from scoring.
Right.
It's like kissing your sister. Like, what are we doing?
So this is, it's not irresistible force versus, it's the opposite of that. It's resistible force versus movable object.
This is like taking your cousin to prom. Like, it's not good. Like, neither one. Their offense is bad. Their defense is terrible. What do? I guess we mash them up together. And what is that? Like, I think offense is easier than defense.
Yes.
And if offense is easier than defense, then against a defense that's not that good, this offense from Notre Dame is going to be able to move the football.
Gosh, if they can run the football in North Carolina, it could be a long day.
Yeah, and it's just, that's the part, like, I thought they'd be favored by more. But, again, like, this is literally like your mom coming down the stairs and being like, well, you know, prom's next week. I got your tuxedo, and your cousin will go with you. And you're like, ugh, okay.
That never happened to you, by the way. You always had a date, and I'm sure you had a koozie in your back pocket at the time. Mike Felder from Stadium. By the way, go to It's Felder. Do it. And upgrade. Go to Premium. Go to Premium for It's Felder. You are the best, my friend, at In the Bleachers on Twitter. Thank you so much.
No problem. My wife's very worried I'm going to hurt myself. But tomorrow on itsfelder.bulletin.com on the premium feed, I am going to do a fumble recovery tutorial where I do get down on the ground. So it's all happening.
Gosh, I'm going to be there. What time is that?
We're going to do it live, but it'll live in the group. But okay. We're going to do it live, like Bill O'Reilly, baby.
Oh, beautiful. We'll do it live. Excellent, Mike. I'll talk to you soon, man. Peace.
Take it easy.
You got it, Mike Felder. We just completely lost control of that segment. I apologize.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.